One out of every 100 Americans who die this year will be a suicide, and the suicide rate for college students is twice that number. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the mania for self-destruction. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, the 10th leading cause of death in the United States is suicide, and among teenagers from 15 to 19, it's the second leading cause of death. Now, these statistics are based on the official record, and it's estimated that almost twice that figure would be closer to the truth, and at least four times as many have attempted suicide without succeeding. Now, according to a leading psychologist, suicide is the second largest cause of death among college students. And they have, by the way, a suicide rate about 50% higher than for the rest of the country. Believe it or not, one student takes his own life every 1.5 hours somewhere in the United States. Now, there's some interesting and alarming facts about this burgeoning problem of self-destruction. It's downright terrifying to think that our world is in such a mess that life has become unbearable for so many. It's not the ignorant, uneducated class, by the way, who are making the statistics. In Los Angeles County alone, at least one medical doctor kills himself every month. Women try suicide about 3 times more often than men, but 3 times as many men actually die. And strange as it may seem, 500 children or adolescents die every year by their own hand. The way things are looking right now, 1 out of every 100 Americans who die this year will be a suicide. Now, while we're thinking of so many student suicides, let's ask the question as to why so many bright young people on the threshold of life choose to lay it down instead of take it up. Most of them leave notes behind, and if you could gather all of these notes together and paste them on one page, you would read the story of the shortcomings of our society, friends. Many students sit at the feet of those who do not believe in God. Some teachers profess belief in God, but the majority don't even believe in God. They've lost all idea of spiritual things. They build up the theory that in themselves they're complete, that there's no limit to which they may not develop. And then some begin to look at themselves and begin to feel an inferiority complex. Perhaps they conclude that they're not as capable as others, and suddenly they're gone. The godless teachers who've taken away the idea of God, they've destroyed faith in those young people. They mock at any hope of a life beyond. And then, since there's nothing left to look forward to, many students just decide to end it all. Now, this is not the only reason, of course, but I know in many cases that have been investigated, it has been found that young people have received instruction or impressions from their teacher that led them to actually give up their life. Now, suicide, as you know, is infectious. It's actually contagious. Many times the suicide chart shows that if one individual takes his life, many others will do likewise, perhaps even in the same community. A professor in one of the universities took his life, and in a very little time after that, 6 of his students had followed him by also committing suicide. Now, there's a text that I want to read in Exodus 20, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Now, there is a commandment, friends. Thou shalt not kill. Now, please don't draw any conclusions on today's subject till it's all finished, friends. But right here in the beginning of our study, I want to state that an individual who intentionally takes his own life has broken the commandment of God. But we're trying to determine if a suicide can be saved. We see the suicide lying there, and I turn to God's Word and find that he lies there condemned and apparently without hope. That suicide is held up to scorn by the community, perhaps because he's broken the commandment that says, thou shalt not kill. And we point a finger because the suicide broke that one commandment. Yet how many thought of as perfectly respectable people in the community may break any other of the 9 commandments, and people think nothing of it? I think it's fair that we look at this subject today in that light. What's the attitude of the public on the subject of suicide anyway? I was reading the other day from one writer who feels that a man's life is his own, that he has the right to end it if he wants to, and it's nobody's business. If he finds that there's no more pleasure in this life, he has a right to terminate it, according to what this man taught. Now I say, if a man is just a beast, if he lives just to satisfy hunger, thirst, or passion, then that attitude is probably all right. If we're living an animal existence, then it's as all right to end that life as it is to turn off a light or a motor. But let's remember that God said, let us make man in our image. Paul says, you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. And again, no man liveth unto himself. You see, friends, we're weak and defiled from centuries of degeneration, and yet we're far above the brute creation. We draw our life from heaven. We're made in the image of God. God gave us life, and only God has the right to take that life away. Another writer says, if there's a God, he has no right to interfere with suicide, if there is a God, and of course this man who's writing doesn't believe there is, then that God is immortal and so can't commit suicide. And not being able to die and being all-powerful, it's impossible for him to sympathize with us in this life. Therefore, God has no right to interfere if man chooses to end his own life. Now, that's the reasoning of a certain group of people. But I find an answer to that in the Bible, friends. When he says that God can't die, that he can't suffer with us, he's laid himself open to condemnation from the Bible itself. For one of the three members of the Godhead came down to this earth and gave his life. And that should silence that accusation forever. Jesus said, I laid down my life. No one can take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Now, friends, I want you to remember that Jesus went right down through the trials of this life and packed into 33 short years all the agonies and temptations that most people suffer in 70. So I say the heart of God is sympathetic. He sees and feels with the hearts of those who are contemplating suicide. Jesus' great heart of love yearns over the pitiful individual who, in despair, decides to end it all. Now, why do people take their own lives anyway? I want to make this statement. The sin of suicide, taking one's life at the end of the trail, that's not the primary sin at all. But the primary sin is this building up of sin which leads up to that final step. In other words, a person starts back there early in life, battling and struggling, and then he finally gives up. He loses hope, and off he goes from a high bridge or out of a window, and his life is ended. It's a life marked by lack of faith in God that finally terminates in suicide. It seems so horrible to us, the act of self-murder, but to God, it's what leads up to it that's the primary sin. Murder of self is just the climax of hopeless doubt. How could a man end his own life if he believes this wonderful assurance found in the Bible? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, Romans 8:28. Now, one thing which is a major cause of a suicide is love. A young man falls in love with some young lady and places his trust in her, and then she falls in love with somebody else and marries him. And the young man takes poison to end his heartache. Many lovers have said before suicide, there's nothing left for me to live for. Now, where do I find their counterpart in the Bible? I find it in Genesis chapter 3. After God had created man, he said, it is not good for man to live alone. And he created Eve to be a companion to Adam. And then Eve, of course, took of the forbidden fruit, you know the story, and she was condemned to die. She brought the fruit over to Adam and said, Adam, it's wonderful. I wish you'd try it. I feel so good. Oh, friends, listen, when Adam saw what had happened, he was overwhelmed with grief. He had not tasted of sin. He said, here's Eve, my loved one, my darling companion. My whole life is wrapped up in her. And here she has gone into sin, and God said she'd have to die. I'll eat the fruit and die with her. I can't live on alone. And Adam committed spiritual suicide that he might die with her. If he had remained true, of course, in that time of test, I'm sure God would have supplied another companion for him and could have wiped away all of that sorrow. So take courage, for Jesus is able to supply the needs of every bleeding heart. He's able to fill that aching void in your bosom. The time is coming when God will wipe away all tears from your eyes and there will be no more sorrow. Just hold on a little longer, those of you who may be meeting with this kind of discouragement. Now, there's another cause of suicides, too. I picked up a paper one day and read that a bank in a certain city had gone on the rocks. A few days later, I picked up the paper again and found the president was found dead in his room, a revolver by his side. I read another article telling of the number who committed suicide as a result of the stock markets crashing. So few are willing to sacrifice for God, but I find that many, many people offer their lives as a willing sacrifice for money. It's a terrible thing to think that money can wrap itself around a man's heart until he will die if he can't have it. If men would look more at the sign of the cross and less at the sign of the dollar, there'd be far fewer suicides, friends. Follow that suicide record as it goes higher and higher. As the stock market goes down, the suicide graph goes up. It shows that people have placed a value of this life in terms of dollars and cents. They've lost sight of eternal rewards and heaven's sure promises. Yes, suicide is taking a toll even from among those who profess to be God's children. I want to read this text now in 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now there's a strong statement, friends. We pick a man out and use him as a suicide example. He destroys his life with a bullet or a poison pill. But over here are a whole host of people who are committing suicide. They're doing things which they know are shortening their lives, and they defend themselves. Isn't that my business, they say? It's not anybody else's business what I do. But listen, friends, it is God's business. One man ends his own life in 5 seconds. Another ends his own life over a period of 5 or 10 years with something else. Many a so-called Christian, by evil habits, is guilty of committing gradual suicide on the installment plan. Well, there's another reason why some commit suicide, and that's cherished sin. Sin has some so thoroughly tangled up in a net, they try to get out of it, but the harder they try, the worse things seem to get, and they feel themselves in a hopeless condition. And you know King Saul in the Bible is an example of that. He was a very humble man in the beginning. But later he just didn't seem to care, and he got sidetracked. And we read the record of Saul after trying to dicker with God. He came to the place where he could say, well, God isn't so particular after all. I know I shouldn't have done what I did, but what else could I do? After all, God is not particular. And so Saul tried to cover up his sins by saying that God wasn't particular, until finally, you know, it led him to suicide on the battlefield of Gilboa. Well, the question is, how can a suicide be saved? I can only draw this conclusion, friends, as I read my Bible. If a man's mind has come to a place where his mind is out of order, but his life is otherwise right with God, God will not hold him accountable. God holds us accountable only for what we know we're doing. Now, here's the text for us to take home on this. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Now, I take comfort in the fact that there are some who do not realize what they're doing. They go to a suicide's death unintentionally, and I thank God that I'm not the judge. I find hope in that thought today as we close the broadcast. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.